going to go to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to key on verses 23 and 24, but we'll read the verses leading up to that. And I'm going to read you a few verses, then we're going to talk about what we have read. And we want to look at it with a certain amount of in-depth, and we want to apply it. We want to apply it to our lives. He's come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He's been upon the Mount with his disciples, Peter, James, John, the glory of God. He was transfigured in front of them. They saw him in his transfiguration. What a wonderful, wonderful moment that had to be. But now he's had to come down from that wonderful, wonderful experience on the top of the mountain to the demon-possessed valley. We've all been there, haven't we? You come out of a time of intimacy with God, spending time with the Lord, communion, worshiping Him, praying, enjoying Him, and then you come out into a demon-possessed world, and you have to face the realities. That's what's happened here. So Jesus comes down, and He finds some people surrounding His disciples had remained below. And He asks the scribes, what do you question them? What are you talking to them about? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it takes him, he tears him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. That means wasting away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered them, and he said, O faithless generation! How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit carried him. The spirit convulsed him, if you will. And he fell on the ground and watered, foaming. And he asked his father, How long ago since he came into him? He said, Of a child. This demon seizes the child, throws him down the ground. He is on the ground, threshing around and around. And Jesus simply looks at the Father and says, How long ago did this come into him? He said, Of a child. The word child there carries the idea of a very, very small child. It could be an infant. Of a child, of an infant. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the Father of the Lord cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him, tore him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, saying, Why couldn't we cast him out? And he said unto them, Because this kind comes out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. People of God, understand something today. Demon activity is real. Satan is just as real today as ever he was. All the fallen spirits, all the demons, are just as real today as ever they were. They're just as active today as ever they were. And let me make two or three comments here I want you to put on your listening ears. Some of you need to hear this, I'm telling you. Understand this, that all physical suffering is a result of original sin. We know that. Had Adam and Eve not sinned, we would not have the physical suffering and pain and agony that we have today. But all physical suffering is a result of the fall of man, original sin in the Garden of Eden. But not all physical and suffering originates in this physical realm. Let me say that to you again. You need to have ears to hear this. Not all physical suffering originates in the physical realm. Jesus confronted physical suffering originating in the physical realm. He healed those. He had those come to him, and their physical suffering originated within the physical realm as a result of the fall of man. Disease, sickness, found access to mankind with the fall of man when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus confronted that kind of suffering. He confronted physical suffering that originated in the physical realm. But Jesus also confronted physical suffering originating in the spirit realm. Did you hear me? Jesus also confronted physical suffering that had its origin in the spirit realm, not in the physical realm, but in the spirit realm operating through the physical realm. Now, both of these two types of suffering are still with us today. They are still prevalent. And some of you are asking yourself right now, what I'm going through right now, Bob, is it spiritual or is it physical? I can't answer that. You'll have to come to that conclusion. You have to get with God. You have to get alone with God. But you see, if I have time to think about it and pray about it before I go see a doctor, I'm going to do that. I've been there for years. I had to do that. And you have to understand that, listen to me now carefully, not all physical suffering originates in the physical realm. Some of it originates in the spirit realm. And we find both, as I said a moment ago, we find both of these types of suffering are still prevalent today. We find them in the Scriptures. Now, once again, when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and finds his disciples trying to cast a demon out of a child. So we pick it up now in Mark chapter 9 and verse 14. You're saying, Bob, do you really, truly, honestly believe in demons? Yes. Yes, I do. Why? Well, I've had experiences in my ministry, and understand this has nothing whatever to do with me. Has nothing whatever to do with me. It has everything to do with the power that's in the name of Jesus. It has to do with ministry. But I've been there where I had to cast a demon out of an individual, was confronting the demon in the individual. Yes, I believe in demons. So does anyone who believes the Word of God. So does anyone who really truly believes the Word of God. In Mark 9:14, and by the way, sometimes you got to be quiet and be still before God to find out why you're suffering what you're suffering. Does it originate in the physical realm? Is it a result of the sins of the fathers in the bloodline? Or is it an attack of the enemy? Which is it? You have to find that out. Most times now we run straight to the pill box, don't we? Or we say, oh dear, I got to go down to the emergency room, or I run straight to the doctor. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against medication. I'm not against doctors. I thank God for medical practitioners that he has anointed and he is called into service. But what I'm saying to you is that they can't always help. You see, a doctor can give you a prescription. He can give you a prescription for uppers and downers and in-betweeners. But he cannot solve a problem that's rooted in the spirit by unclean spirits. He can't do it, nor can surgery. Can't do it. And you have to have ears to hear what I'm saying today. Trust me. You have to have ears to hear what I'm saying. Jesus, in Mark 9:14, when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with him. So here he comes from the Mount of Transfiguration down into the demon-infected valley. From the Mount of Transfiguration to a demon-infected child. One of the first things he bumps across when he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration is the Father with a demonic child. The disciples had been unable to minister relief to the child. They couldn't do it. The disciples could not bring the child the relief the child needed. Now, the crowd sees Jesus approaching, Mark 9:15, and immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. They were both surprised and glad to see the Lord. So in verse 16, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? What are you discussing with my disciples? What's going on here? He questioned the scribes. He wanted to know why, what kind of discussion. He realized it was a rather heated discussion. Obviously a somewhat heated discussion. And he wants to know, what are you discussing with them? One of them in the crowd said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. This kid is demonized. This kid is demonized. The father recognizes that the root of the problem is not necessarily and probably not in the physiological realm, not in the emotional realm, but it's in the spirit realm. So he says, teacher, I have brought you my son who has a mute spirit. The father had come seeking relief from Jesus because he had a demonized child. He knew the doctors couldn't help. He knew that no medical practitioner could help in this situation. This thing is rooted in the spirit realm. This is demonic activity. And guess what? They're still with us today. Demon activity is still prevalent today, and you're seeing evidences of it every day of the world. If you're sensitive to what's going on in the world, even in the United States of America, yes, demons are not restricted just to jungles and other areas of the world where it's spiritually unenlightened. No, they're very prevalent here. They go to church. Demons go to church. They go to church every Sunday in the one that they're inhabiting. Demons attend church. Church doesn't threaten them unless it is a spirit-empowered, spirit-anointed church. Then that poses them a problem. But they can come and go at will. We know that the one left the individual going out to seek a better home, couldn't find a better home, came back, we know that from the Word of God, and brought other demons with him back to the host that he had had before. So you have to understand this is reality, folks. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's reality. Whether you want to agree with it or not, it's reality. It's Word of God. It's in the Bible. It's something that we're up against in this day, in the life of this nation, in the life of individuals. Now, in the absence of Jesus, his disciples had tried to help the man, and they were unable to do so. They were powerless to cast this demon out. How much of the church does that describe today? How many are in ministry today that are not only intimidated by demons, are threatened by demons, but really don't know how to go about the approach to get the demon out of the individual? How many are afraid to even tackle that kind of spiritual problem? I think the problem that they had in that day still exists today, and in many instances. You got people sitting in church, for the most part, in most churches, every time the doors open, and they walk in demonically infected. I didn't say demonically possessed, did I? I did not say demonically possessed. I said demonically infected. They walk in and they sit down. But the power of God is not strong enough in that ministry, is not prevalent enough in that ministry to give them a problem. They go in the individual, their host, they sit through the service, and they come out with the individual, still in the individual. So much of the church today seems to be so spiritually powerless. Let me say that again. And I say it in calmness. I'm not exercised. I'm just teaching you the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. But so much of the church today, what we call the church, but then not everything that we call the church is the church. There's a big religious organization made up of religious organizations that themselves are not part of the body of Christ. They're not part of the bride of Christ. They're not part of the church. They're posing as church. They call themselves church. They act like church. But the power of God is not there. The Spirit of God is not there. And the anointing is not there. And in most instances, the full truth of the Word of God is not there. So, the church today, I say once again, seems to be so spiritually powerless today. I'm saying to you that demonized people go to church, walk in, sit down, participate in the praise, the worship, listen to the message to some degree, one way or the other, get up and leave, and they're not changed. They're not free. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free. I came to set the captives free. So the father explains the problem with his son to Jesus. He says to Jesus, wheresoever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. These were men who were walking with Jesus every day. They had seen Jesus perform this kind of ministry, this expression of ministry. And this desperate father has brought his child to these, the disciples of Jesus, hoping they can get his child some relief. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You see, the demon would seize the child at will, whenever it chose. It just took possession of the child whenever it chose. It manifested, perhaps I should put it that way, it manifested its presence in the child any time it chose to do so. And there was a physical manifestation. Folks, hear me. This was a physical manifestation. It would throw the kid down, lock him down. He would gnash with his teeth. He gave all these manifestations of physiological problems when the demon seized the child. And he's telling Jesus about this. So what you have here is you have a physiological manifestation. Once again, you have the foaming of the mouth. You have the gnashing of the teeth, becoming rigid, can't hardly bend. And then the father goes on and says, so I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. What do we have there? In the disciples of Jesus, we have spiritual impotence. Spiritual impotence. They really didn't understand. They were walking with Jesus. They were ministering with Jesus, ministering to Jesus. They had watched Jesus minister. But they themselves, in this situation, were spiritually impotent. You understand something, that demonization is a spiritual reality in the world today. I don't know how, in heaven's name, you can read some of the news, some of the bizarre, ungodly, unholy, inhumane things that occur in the midst of humanity and not recognize and realize that is the work of unclean spirits. We call them demons because that's what the Word of God calls them. Folks, it is so prevalent on a day-by-day basis in the nations of the world and, yes, in the United States of America. It is so prevalent. It is so manifest. Demonization is a spiritual reality in the world today. Make no mistake about it. Demonization is a spiritual reality in the church today. Folks, I've been at this a while. And when I first came into the ministry, when I finally surrendered, and I started hearing about this stuff, and frankly, I'd never heard about this stuff to any degree growing up in Southern Baptist churches. I was never really introduced to spiritual warfare as such and demonization as such and deliverance ministries as such. So I came in to the ministry with tongue in cheek, and I'm listening carefully. And quite frankly, I came out of seminary and into the ministry, and God had to put me in the laboratory. God had to put me in situations and circumstances where I had to face the reality of the supernatural in the spirit realm. I had to confront. I had to face. I had to get on my face before God. I had to get on my knees before God. God was making it real, and I was involved in it, and He was teaching me. He was teaching me. He wants to teach us. He wants to teach us, and He was teaching me. But understand this, demonization Demonization, demons in human beings, is a spiritual reality in the world today. And demonization is a spiritual reality in the church today. People go to church. Demons are in people. People go to church with demons. People leave the church with demons still intact, still inhabiting them. Why? Because there's not enough power there, not enough anointing there, not enough knowledge there. But let me say this to you right up front now. I'm not pushing a deliverance ministry. I can teach you, I can show you from the Word of God how you can affect self-deliverance. It is a rare individual that really needs somebody that is schooled in the ministry of releasing individuals from demon possession or demon oppression or demonization. The individual, once they know who they are in Christ Jesus, and once they know how to use the sword of the Spirit, and once they know how to get into the presence of God and take this situation into the presence of God, take their position of authority in Christ Jesus, recognize their position of authority in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God the Father, you, my friend, can overcome. Now, there's a rare individual. Once in a while, we run across an individual that needs some help. But the average individual, the average child of God, can affect self-deliverance if they accept the Word of God, believe the Word of God, understand and confront the situation and recognize reality. But if you deny reality, then you, and listen, let me say this to them. Some might be thinking right now, oh, no. I can't even get involved in all that. Listen, you would be surprised the influence and effect you can have on your husband, on your wife, on your children, on your kinfolk, on your neighbors, on your friends, in your prayer closet. Take it before the throne of God. Take that individual before the throne of God. Know your position in the, of Jesus Christ. Know your authority in Christ Jesus. Take your rightful place of position at the right hand of God the Father in Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Exercise your spiritual authority. But to do that, you've got to know who you are. You've got to know who you are. You've got to understand that when Christ came out of that tomb, he had defeated everything hell had to offer. He had defeated Satan and every demon out of hell. Now, you as a child of God, I know that many of you are having difficulty receiving this. Well, that's, you got to get with God. Either you're going to believe the Word of God or you're not. Get into Ephesians. Read the book of Ephesians. Who was the book of Ephesians written to? The same thing the rest of the scriptures were written to. God's people. It's all there, folks. It's there. In book after book after book of the Bible, in chapter after chapter, verse after verse, it is there. It is spiritual reality. And one of the greatest lies that Satan has posed on the church in this day is that he doesn't exist. He's a mythological creature. No. He's real. He's up against God. He's up against God's people. And you're battling this every day of the world, and many of you do not even understand the battle you're in, and you don't understand the source of the battle. And you don't know how to respond to the battle. You don't even understand the whole armor of God. You don't understand your position in Jesus Christ. You do not understand, as a child of God written into the will of God, that you have access to the throne of God, that you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, that you're indwelt by the power that created this universe. You're indwelt by the power that cast Satan down when he revolted against God centuries ago, and him and the angels that joined with him in the revolt and rebellion against God, and Jesus cast them out. You have no idea what happened then. And that's why so many of God's people are suffering. That's why so many of God's people are suffering what they're suffering. Demonization is a spiritual reality in the lives of individuals. It's in the church. It's in the world today. So Jesus responds. He responds to the situation. He said, "Faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." They've been with him. They have watched him minister. They have heard him speak to unclean spirits. They knew what he could do. They understood the power in the name of Jesus. Do you? Do you understand the power that's in the name of Christ Jesus? Listen, I came out of a fact background. I came out of a background where we had to have facts. We had to have evidence. And I came into the ministry and I held a lot of things suspect. I had to see it in the Word. It had to be made real to me by the Holy Spirit of God from the Word of God. I wasn't really willing to just accept some preacher's word for it. I had to see it in the Word of God. I had to acknowledge it in the Word of God. And let me say this for just a moment. Deliverance ministry. Yes, deliverance ministries can be real. We see an expression of that in the Apostle Paul's ministry in Ephesians. Then we see it in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Now God, Acts 19, 11, and God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And you recall they came out and attacked them. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, medical doctor, turned preacher. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones did a wonderful, wonderful work. He gave up the practice of medicine to preach, to become a pastor. Matter of fact, he wrote a book, The Christian Warfare. The first edition was published in April 1977, with a second printing in August of 1979. He does a beautiful job explaining spiritual warfare and demonization. Medical doctor, gave up his medical practice to answer the call of God on his life, to preach, to be a pastor. And he does a wonderful, marvelous job explaining spiritual warfare and demonization. Yes, he explains demonizations of Christians. He understood this. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones understood this. He wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't afraid of it. He wasn't intimidated by it. And so he wrote the book, The Christian Warfare. And he talked about how Christians themselves become demonized and what is involved, the kind of demons and the practice of the demons in their lives. Wonderful book. A wonderful book. Confirmed so much for me. You see, I got called into this ministry, this expression ministry, not understanding what was going on. But God was training me. God was teaching me. And so he brought me through different levels, and he taught me at different levels. And I was so glad to come across this book, because he was confirming, plus enlarging and enlightening me in things I still had yet to learn. But Jesus has conquered everything out of hell. When Jesus came out of that tomb, folks, please hear me. The Christian walk, I've told you how many times, is not a picnic. It's not a picnic. It is warfare. It is warfare. You are up against spiritual warfare every day of your life, and many of you have already been marginalized. You have been marginalized by the enemy to the point that you no longer pose a threat to the enemy, and so you've been left alone for the most part. And if you're satisfied where you are, and the unclean spirits that have been ministering to you and through you are satisfied with your satisfaction, you'll remain right there. That's not what God wants of you. God wants you every day of the world to grow a little strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But to do that, you've got to recognize reality. And you've got to recognize who Christ Jesus is, what he accomplished on the cross, what he accomplished in his life, what he accomplished in his resurrection, what he's accomplishing today through his bride, the body, the church. Well, let's get back to it now. Let's get back to Mark chapter 9. They brought the demonized child to Jesus. They couldn't cast the demon out. The disciples couldn't. Verse 20 of Mark chapter 9. And they brought unto him, the child to him, to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. I gather from this, it would appear the demon recognized Jesus for who he was. Much of mankind did not recognize him for who he was. Much today have not recognized him for who he is and all he is. Much of the church. No. Much of the religious community. Understand, I make a distinction between the religious community and the church. You see, the church is comprised of those who have been born again, cleansed by the blood of Christ, dead to sin, alive to God through Jesus Christ. When I say dead to sin, that's what the Word of God teaches. But you're still, day after day after day, you're going to sin. The key is this. You don't have to sin, any sin that you have time to think about and pray about before you do it. But then, so many of us came into the body of Christ with strongholds in our lives. We came into the body of Christ with these spiritual strongholds in our lives. Well, guess who inhabits spiritual strongholds? Unclean spirits. Call them demons. You say, wait a minute, Bob. Are you saying to me that a Christian can be host to demons? Yes. Unapologetically. Unapologetically. And that has been the practice and the discovery of so many men of God down through the centuries that, yes, we have people walking in church every Sunday of the world. And sometimes during the week, they walk in demonically infected and they walk out demonically infected. And many of them are, yes, truly born again. Yes, born again. But you've got to understand that in the whole process of regeneration, you start out as a spiritual infant and you came into the kingdom of God bringing satanic baggage with you. Yes, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you became a new creation. But you brought a lot of spiritual baggage and luggage into the body of Christ. What do you think? I keep telling you, that is what the process of sanctification is all about. That is why discipleship is so important. But so many have come into the body of Christ as a spiritual infant, and they're still there. They're still there to this day. Some have grown from spiritual infancy to spiritual childhood, young childhood. Some have even made it to maybe older childhood. Some have even made it into spiritual young adulthood. Few, I think, have made it into spiritual maturity. But this is in the church, folks. This is harsh reality. You may not want to accept what you're hearing, but you get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God and you slow down, wind your watch, and read the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And believe the Word of God. Embrace the Word of God. And then start examining your own life. What are you up against? See, so many folks go, okay, I got saved. I'm born again. I'm good to go. Don't have any more problems. No, no, no. When you come in the kingdom of God, yes, you become a new creation. But understand this. You brought a ton of baggage with you. That's what sanctification is all about. You get sanctified in as much as you are set apart for Jesus, but now you got to come through the process of sanctification, and the process of sanctification is becoming increasingly more and more like Jesus. And that's where we're failing so far. So often, that's where we fail. Back to Mark chapter 9 and verse 20 once again. And they brought him, the demonized child, brought him to Jesus. And when he, the demon, saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him, took over his body, convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. The demonized child is in convulsion, wallowing on the ground, foaming at the mouth. All this is going on, and what does Jesus do? With all of that going on, here the kid is laying on the ground, flopping and flipping all over the place, foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, grinding his teeth. And what does Jesus do? He said to the father, how long has this been happening to him? How long has your child had this problem? How long has this been going on in his life? And the father answered, from childhood. In the Greek, the word childhood there carries the idea of very, very young child. It can't even stretch back to infancy. Young, very young. How in the heaven's name, you tell me, how in heaven's name does a young child, an infant, become demonized? Answer me. How? Even before perhaps they've had a chance to enter into a life of sin? How do they become demonized even before they get involved in a life of sin? Has it ever occurred to you that unclean spirits like bloodlines? Has it ever occurred to you? And we have this inference in Scripture that some unclean spirits gain access to a bloodline and remain in that bloodline until somebody who knows what they're doing and is willing to do it takes a position of authority in Christ Jesus, breaks their power, gets rid of them, sends them on their way. Childhood, the Greek word is patiothen, since infancy. Jesus, this thing has been in my child. He's been giving evidence of this in the youngest, tenderest years, even from infancy. And he goes on in Mark chapter 9, verse 22. And often it has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. Look what the Father says about the demon manifestation in his child. Has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water. No child is just going to jump into fire. That's not going to happen. This child is so possessed of this demon that at will it can throw him into the fire. Throw him into water. What's the point? Trying to destroy him. You see, had he destroyed this child, hear me, listen to me carefully, the demon would not have been destroyed. He would have left that child. If the child drowned, if the child died as a result of the fire, the demon would have left and go looking for another host. Go looking for another host. And then the Father says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus, if you can do anything, we need help, Jesus. We need help, Jesus. We don't understand. We're powerless. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. If you can help, please do. And Jesus said to him, now put your listening ears on because I'm going to stretch you. I have to deal with this myself. I'm going to let you deal with it. And Jesus said to him, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Did you get that? This is not name it and claim it preaching. Don't get me wrong. This is not name it and claim it preaching. We're taking it line upon line, precept upon precept. We're taking what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Here's the way I understand that. The lack of power never lies in Jesus. The lack of power to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish does not rest in Jesus. But it's our lack of faith. It is our lack of faith. So now someone's going to ask the question, located above. Can I truly believe in that which is not? Can I truly believe in that which is not the will of the Father? I have to stop and slow down on that question. Now slow down and listen to me. You're going to ask me, Bob, can I truly believe in that which is not the will of the Father? I don't think you can. I don't think you can believe in that which is not really the will of the Father. I think you need to seek the Father's mind. I think you need to seek the Word of God. You need to get in the Word of God and say, now what does the Word of God say about this situation? What does the Word of God say about this circumstance? And then pray in accordance with the Word of God. But there are going to be times you can't find the exact answer you're looking for in the Word of God. That's why you've got to get quiet before Jesus. You've got to get quiet before the Lord. You've got to seek the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You've got to seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. How do I pray this? How do I approach this? I've got a problem in my household. I see a problem in my family. I see a problem in my occupation. I see a problem in my own life. You see, to confess that you believe does not mean that you believe. Just because you say I believe does not mean that you believe. And quite frankly, so much of the church today does not really believe that we're in a spiritual warfare with souls hanging in the balance. And so much of the church has been lulled into a sleep, if you will, a spiritual sleepiness, that they have not yet recognized the reality of what the Word of God teaches. They have not yet recognized the reality of spiritual warfare. They have not read the book of Ephesians. They have not been to Colossians and Philippians. They have not seen the Scriptures. They have not been to the Gospels. They have not yet stopped to consider, wait a minute. Demons don't die. If they leave one person, they go looking for another place. If the person they're inhabiting dies, then they simply leave that person when that person dies, and they go looking for another victim. And some of you right now thinking, Bob, this is off the wall. Prove me wrong. I challenge you, using nothing but the Word of God, prove me wrong. I was so glad to come across the book by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I was so glad to come across that book because he confirmed so much that I had run across, so much I had seen in the Scriptures, so much what I had bumped across in ministry. He confirmed it and was expanding my knowledge and my understanding, and I can recommend the book. For those of you who really want to better understand spiritual warfare and the reality of what is going on in your life and the life of loved ones today, get the book. Read the book. He quotes scripture after scripture after scripture. It is scripture-based. And so I'm telling you, this is real, folks. This is so real. And you have to understand that we're up against unclean spirits every day of the world. So, once again, the Father says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Once again, Bob, can I truly believe in that which is not necessarily the will of the Father? I don't think so. I think to confess that you believe does not mean that you believe just because you confess it. I don't think that just because you say you believe means that you believe. We can pray anything in faith that is clearly promised in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. See what the Word of God says. See what the Word of God promises. We can pray anything in faith. And it's okay to say, to like this father did, I believe. Help my unbelief, Jesus. Please, please, Jesus, help my unbelief. We can pray anything in faith that is clearly promised in the Word of God. I can't just reach out in the air and pull anything I want to. I can do that, but he doesn't promise to honor that. But anything that's in the Word, if I can find it in the Word, I can pray. But here again, I've got to leave the timing up to him. And some of you are praying things right now, and you're thinking, I've prayed this. I'm almost tired of praying this, and I haven't seen anything happening. I haven't seen God come through. Leave the timing up to him. You've got to leave the results up to him. You've got to pray. If you pray anything in faith that is clearly promised in the Word, you still got to leave the timing up to Jesus. It may be in the Word. It may be a promise in the Word. And you may be praying it in faith, but still stay off God's throne. You've got to stay off God's throne, and you've got to leave the timing up to the Lord, as well as the way in which it is done. You see, you've got an idea that if I'm praying this, this is the way God's going to answer it. You may be wrong. You've got to leave the timing up to him. You've got to leave the methodology up to him. Just trust him that he will honor his word. When you pray anything that's in accordance with his will, it's going to happen. It may not happen in your time frame. It may not even happen in your lifetime. But it's going to happen if you pray anything in his will. We pray our desires with the understanding, thy will be done. That's the way we pray, folks. We pray our desires, but we also pray with the understanding, thy will be done. We have to leave it up to him for his timing. We have to leave it up to him for his methodology, however he wants to do it. Mark 9:24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do we need to pray that? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I think that's a proper prayer for all believers. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I have areas of my life that I'm doubting my faith level. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe your word. Help me, Lord. Help my unbelief. Mark 9:25. And when Jesus saw that the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to the deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Notice how he addresses that unclean spirit, the way it was manifesting itself. How does the unclean spirit manifest itself in you, in people you know? Jesus said, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. There was no showmanship involved. No showmanship here. Just a simple, straightforward command to the unclean spirit. Come out. Come out. Mark 9:26. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, he's dead. The demon uttered an expression of failure and frustration. The Word of God says the demon cried out. The demon cried out using the boy's voice, using the boy's vocal cords. The demon cried out and convulsed the kid and came out of him. And the kid fell to the ground as one who was dead. The demon uttered an expression of failure and frustration, but he had to leave the host. He had to leave the kid. Heretofore, you see, before this time, the spirit, the unclean spirit, the demon, had enabled and empowered this kid. Now, he has no power whatever in the life of the child. The captive has been set free. Jesus came to set the captives free. The captive had been set free. Mark 9:27. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Folks, what you have here is you have a father who went home rejoicing, and a child went home free of demonic possession, all because of Jesus, the power and the authority in Jesus. Father God, I'm simply asking you to take the message and use it in some way to assist your people, illumine your people, enlighten your people. Use it in some way to strengthen your people. And Father, let us come to grips with the reality of the Scriptures. The Word of God is without error. Word of God teaches us, Jesus, you recognize the reality of spiritual warfare. You recognize the reality of demonization. You recognize the reality of the spirit realm. And you conquered those in the spirit realm. And Jesus, we understand when you came out of that tomb and you came out of that grave, you had conquered everything hell had to offer. You had conquered Satan and every unclean spirit out of hell. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, impress this truth upon those who are truly born again. And let us take our rightful place in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. And let us walk in all the liberty and freedom and peace and power, Jesus, that you purchased for us on the cross. It's our fault if we don't walk in it. You've made it available. You purchased it for us. Now anoint us, enable us to receive that which you have purchased for us, which you have available to us. Let us receive it, believe it, live it, walk in it, pray it, and live it. And this I ask in Jesus' name, O Father God, hear my prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And if you question anything I've said, check the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. It's all right there. I know. I've been there. I'm in the Word. I want you to go to the Word. Come to grips with reality. Come to grips with the reality of spiritual warfare. Come to grips with the reality of the invisible realm in the spirit realm. And prepare yourself every day of the world by putting on the whole armor of God and going out to face the enemy, not only on your own behalf, but behalf of your loved ones, your family, your church, and our nation. This has been Bob Martin. This is Challenge. Thanks so much for joining us today. Until we have a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Well, dear hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And I understand that some of you may have some difficulty in embracing some of this truth. I did. I looked at it long and hard, but the Lord had to introduce me to the warfare. He had to bring me through situations and circumstances, and I had to confront situations and circumstances as he was teaching me the reality of what I've taught you today. I'm just going to suggest that you get quiet before the Lord, get into the Word of God, read the Word of God for yourself, and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. Some of you need to understand that you yourself can affect self-deliverance, but you've got to be honest with God. You've got to be open with God. You need to go to the Word of God and read it for yourself, especially start in the book of Ephesians. And then you might want to get alone with the Lord and get on your knees and just sit in a chair and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I stand against every ancestral spirit and every generational curse in my bloodline. Father, I choose to embrace the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus, you come to set the captives free. Jesus, I'm a captive. I want to be free. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to set me free. And folks, once you pray a prayer something like that, get in the Word of God. And then day after day, this may take some time, but spend time in the presence of God. Think back over your life and think of the areas in your life that are strongholds. They were strongholds when you got saved, and may you still have some of these same strongholds in your life now. But take them to the Lord day after day after day and stay at it until you get the victory. And one day you'll know, I've got the victory. And you'll walk away from the battlefield. You may be scarred, you may be bloodied, but you'll be walking in freedom. Thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we have a chance to get together and do this again, be ever so blessed. God bless. Well, this has been Challenge. Thanks for joining us today, and until we have a chance to get together and do this again, be ever so blessed.